these words, taken from the book The Mystical City of God, Transfiction, Book 2, Chapter 8. Our Lady reminds us that the devil never ceases to destroy our souls.
My daughter, all that thou hast understood and written in this chapter contains great and instructive mysteries for the mortals who will meditate upon it. Prudently consider first of all how my most holy Son, though he, in order to foil and overcome the devil, and in order to weaken his power against men, permitted him to retain the nature and the penetrating knowledge of an angel, nevertheless concealed many things from him, as thou hast already recorded in other places. In withholding them from his knowledge, the Almighty foiled the malice of this dragon in a manner most befitting his sweet and irresistible providence. On this account was the hypostatic union of the divine and the human natures concealed, and the devil was allowed to fall into so great confusion regarding this mystery, and to be driven into so many cross purposes, until the Lord revealed himself and convinced him of the divine glory of his soul, even from the moment of his conception. Likewise, he permitted the devil to witness some of the miracles of his most holy life, and concealed from him many others. In a similar manner, the Lord provides for the welfare of souls in our days. For although the devil can by his natural powers inform himself of all the doings of each soul, God will not permit it, and hides much from him for reasons of his own providence. Afterwards, he allows him to find them out for his greater humiliation. Thus, after the work of the redemption, he permitted the demon, for his greater torment and confusion, to become aware of so many unheeded mysteries. The infernal dragon is continually lurking about to search into the doings of souls, not only into the exterior, but into the interior activities of each soul. By my most holy Son exerts a most loving care over them ever since he was born and died for them. This blessed care would be much more general and continual with many, if they themselves did not make themselves unworthy by delivering themselves over to the enemy and listening to his deceits and his malicious and cunning advice. Just as the virtuous and the friends of God gradually become instruments in the hands of the Lord and resign themselves entirely to his divine disposition, so that he alone governs and directs them and does not allow them to be moved by other agencies, so, in like manner, many of the reprobate and of those who are forgetful of their Creator and Redeemer, and who deliver themselves over to the devil by repeated sins, are moved and drawn into all kinds of wickedness, and are mere tools of his depraved malice. An example of this we have in the perfidious disciple and in the murderous Pharisees persecuting their Redeemer. None of the mortals are blameless in this respect. For just as Judas and the priests, by the use of their own free will, refuse to follow the good advice of the demon and desist from persecuting Christ our Savior, so they could much more easily have refused to join him in persecuting Christ when they were first tempted. For then they were assisted by grace, if only they wished to use it, while afterwards they were assisted only by their own free choice and led by their bad habits. Then they were, in the second instance, deprived of grace and help of the Holy Ghost, was only just because they had given themselves up and subjected themselves to the demon. They had made up their minds to follow him in all his malice and allow themselves to be governed entirely by his perversity without ever considering the goodness and the power of their Creator. Hence you will understand that this infernal serpent can have no power to lead anyone toward good, but very much toward leading those souls into sin who are neglectful in issuing from their evil state. Truly I say to thee, my daughter, that if mortals would thoroughly understand this danger, they would be struck with great terror, for there is no created power which can prevent a soul that has once yielded to sin from casting itself from abyss to abyss. Since the sin of Adam, the weight of human nature, burdened with the concupiscible and irascible passions, is drawn towards sin as the stone toward its center. Joined to this tendency are the bad habits and customs, the power of Satan over those who have sinned, and his unceasing tyranny. Who is there that is so much an enemy of his own welfare as to despise these dangers? The Almighty alone can free him, and to his right hand is reserved the remedy. In spite of all this, mortals live as secure and forgetful of their ruin as if each one had in its own power to prevent and repair it at his pleasure. Though many know and openly confess that they cannot rise from their own ruin without the help of God, yet they allow this consciousness to become a mere habit and a vague sentiment, and instead of lovingly seeking his aid, they offend and irritate God, expecting him to wait upon them with his grace until they are tired of sinning, or until they are unable to continue their abominable wickedness and ingratitude. Do thou fear, my dearest, this dreadful danger, and beware of the first sin. For after the first sin, thou wilt be still less able to resist the second, and thou wilt increase the power of the devil over thee. Remember that thy treasure is most valuable, and the vase in which thou carriest it, fragile. By one fall thou canst lose it all. Great is the cunning and sagacity which the serpent uses against thee, and in thy insight is but small. Therefore thou must collect thy senses and close them to all outward things. Thou must withdraw thy interior within the wall of protection and refuge raised for thee by the Almighty, whence thou canst repel all the inhuman assaults of the enemies. To excite this fear in thee, it will be sufficient to consider the punishment of Judas, which has been made clear to thy understanding, in regard to thy imitation of my behavior in other matters. How thou shouldst act toward thee who hate and persecute thee, how that thou shouldst love them and bear with them in charity and patience, and how thou shouldst pray for them to the Lord with true zeal for their salvation, as I have done for the traitor Judas. In all this I have before this often exhorted thee. I desire that thou excel and distinguish thyself therein, and that thou instruct thy religious and all those with whom thou dealest in this manner of acting. For in view of the patience and meekness of my most holy Son, and my own example, the wicked and all mortals shall be covered with unutterable confusion, because they have not pardoned each other with fraternal charity. The sins of hate and vengeance shall be punished with greater severity than other sins on the judgment day. And in this life these vices will soonest drive away the infinite mercy of God, and cause eternal punishment of men, unless they amend in sorrow. Those that are kind and sweet toward their enemies and persecutors, and who forget injuries, resemble on that account more particularly the incarnate Word. For Christ always went about seeking to pardon, and to load with blessings those who were in sin. By imitating the charity and the meekness of the Lamb, the soul disposes itself to receive and maintain that noble spirit of charity and love of God and the neighbor, which makes it apt for all the influences of divine grace and benevolence.